Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Coltscast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back. We are rounding out the defense today in our positional breakdowns, going through the Colts roster position by position to figure out what we've got going on for the 2018 NFL season. So rocking into the corners today. Been through everything so far, guys. I mean, we've got a pretty good idea, I think, of what we're going to see. We've got some guys that could surprise throughout the roster defensively. We've got some guys that we have high expectations for, and kind of that, you know, that theme kind of rolls into our cornerback group as well. So we've got some unknowns in every position, it seems like, as well, like some real unknowns. Like, we just couldn't possibly know anything about these guys until we see them on the field. Again, similar situation with the corners. So we're going to bust right into it, and then we're going to get to our offense for tomorrow's show and see what we've got on that side of the ball. I think that we've got a little more that we're aware of what's going on offensively. So let's finish out the defense right here and talk about a couple of these unknown guys right off the jump to kind of start us out. Juante Baldwin out of Pittsburgh State, solid size, solid weight. There's nothing that we could possibly know about this guy, to be quite honest with you. I'm sure there's some highlight tapes out there, but you're not looking for highlight tapes when you're trying to figure out what a guy can do throughout a game even, or a season, or even a little grouping of games. But he's there, and we're going to just kind of bust these guys into certain groups because there's another couple rookies, Robert Jackson out of Nevada, Las Vegas, and LeSean Durr out of Mississippi State. Those guys are all kind of in that range. Robert Jackson is the largest of them all, the most physically built, I guess you could say, 6'1", 200. The other guy's 5'11", in the 185 and 190 range, Durr and Baldwin. Not much we know about either one of those guys, Baldwin and Durr, but Jackson has the size. That he's one of the more interesting guys because of that. We know that the corners in this 4-3 Tampa 2 base scheme, that these guys are expected to be physical at the line of scrimmage, be able to keep receivers from getting off on their routes, also have to help in run support. It's something that I think people are confused as in assuming that this cornerback group is going to be relied upon to be the run stopping. That's not the case. They have to be able to tackle. They don't have to be able to take people out of their shoes. They don't have to be, you know, anything like that. What they do have to do is they have to wrap. They have to be able to tackle efficiently. And that's something that a lot of these younger guys are going to benefit from in the beginning of camp if they can prove that. Also, obviously, you have to cover somebody. If you can't do that, there's just very basics when it comes to keeping yourself in camp for secondary guys. Can you cover? And especially this year, can you efficiently tackle? Those three guys, Jackson, Baldwin, and Durr, all have a lot to prove in that category. I mean, there's just not a lot of anything out there on them. This is what we come into every camp. But this cornerback position, not drafting one throughout the 2018 NFL draft, bringing a lot of these guys in, this is going to be fun to watch. I mean, you wish there was a little more experience with the back end of this position group, but it's just not there. So those three guys, we're going to have to keep our eyes on them. Be interesting to see if some of those guys can show up a little bit and prove that they've got something that's worth hanging on to. There's another guy, Henry Tolliver, who's also a rookie. Now, this guy is a little more intriguing to me. We have a little bit of information on him. Solid tackler. Right around 50 tackles his last 3 years in school at Arkansas. Seven interceptions over 4 years, three last year. And just, I mean, a solid player all the way around. At least six passes defensed in his last 3 years in school. You know, he's got the makeup. And he's a little bit bigger, too. So, I mean, but he's a little lighter, but he's got the length, right? 6'1", around 190 or so, 185. A guy that has the testing that Chris Ballard really is wanting to see out of some of these guys, especially the short cone drills. He talked about how he has, you know, kind of a, is there a guy who lacks in one area or can really just stand out in another? And Tolliver is kind of that guy. didn't have the super straight line speed, but had a great short shuttle, had a three cone that was worth looking at for sure, and did pretty nice in the combine. So Andre Tolliver is a guy that I think that I'm really interested to see what he's got. He is a prototypical Ballard guy if you look at his secondary acquisitions and the guys that he talks about. I think it was Nathan Vasher that he talked about in that regard. And Tolliver kind of fits that mold. Tolliver is going to be one that I'm really interested to watch. Out of all of these rookies, he's the guy that I, in just my basic opinion at this point with very little in-game or in-practice knowledge, he's one of the guys, in my opinion, that is going to kind of stand above the rest, or at least initially. Obviously, he's got to be one to go out there and prove everything that he can do as well. But he's a guy, in my opinion, who's going to have kind of the head start, I guess, on the crew because they've got some legitimate times from him in the combine, and they've got some legitimate expectations from him, I think, as well, with his length, where he come out of school, D1 prospect. You know, Arkansas was a fairly solid defense. He had a pretty nice response from, you know, NFL draft guys as well. He just wasn't a guy that ended up making, you know, that was drafted. So I think that he's one to watch. I think that was a really good undrafted acquisition for Ballard and the Colts. But now we're going to move on to some guys that we have a little more knowledge about. That back end, those last four rookies back there are going to be guys that are expected to battle for maybe the cornerback 4-5, something like that, with some of these other guys we're getting ready to mention right now. And I'm going to talk about two of them that could kind of be on that bubble right off the jump. Christopher Milton is one of them. He's been with the Colts for a couple years. The Colts liked him in the slot initially. He was a guy that the Colts thought was going to be able to eventually hold that down. In fact, he was one of the projected starters, if I'm not mistaken, in 2016. Maybe it was last year. They expected him to be one of the starters in that role, and he just didn't get it because Nate Hairston played so well. They had, you know, some injury history with him in the previous year, and I just don't think that he really came back in 2017 and did everything that they were expecting, you know, that he would do. So Milton's a guy who's heavily on the bubble as far as I'm concerned, especially if any of these rookie guys behind him can prove that they're as good or better than he is. I mean, Milton is not a huge guy. He's got the build now that he's gained after a couple years in the league, where he's up almost to 200 pounds, 195, 5'11". He's got the right size. Can he come in and actually prove that he's done enough in the offseason to combat for that that nickel role, or at least a solid number two or three on the outside of one of the boundary corners? He's a guy, like I said, very much on the bubble, in my opinion. Chris Milton is a guy that they're familiar with. He's not a Ballard guy necessarily as far as when he was brought in. But it's, you know, he's got a lot to strive for as far as I'm concerned. Another guy, because see, this is where we get now. We get into Ballard guys. DJ White, a guy who was brought in 2017. He was claimed off the Kansas City Chiefs practice squad, I guess, or maybe they released him and they claimed him off waivers. I think that was it. They claimed him off waivers. You know, DJ White is a Ballard guy. He brought him in. He's from his old place. He knows what he can do physicality-wise. He didn't get a lot of experience last year, only a couple games, but he played in 11 games the previous season in Kansas City. Not a guy who's racking up a bunch of tackles. Don't know what he presents in that regard. We don't have enough information on him, but he's a solid pass defender, and he's a guy who's going to be expected to kind of prove that he is. He's very similar in size to Chris Milton, has almost identical measurables. This is a guy, though, who is a Ballard guy. Is that going to keep Christopher Milton out of the mix? I don't know, but DJ White is a guy who's coming in with a lot to prove as well. You know, Ballard is a guy who will be like any GM. He is going to keep guys he likes. Guys that he's brought in the past probably have a little bit better of an opportunity to get to that point. But just the same, Ballard already proved with, you know, the draft pick, the failed draft pick in the lineman, that he's going to get rid of guys if they're just not up to snuff. And so that's something we can still hang our hat on with our GM. He's a guy who is not going to just bring guys in and play guys and hope guys play or suggest that they play just because they were from him, that he brought them in. That's not something that's going to happen. I just do not see that at all. But as I said, it's just like anybody else. You brought a guy in, that's who you hope can play. You see potential in him. Does potential overweigh anything that's being seen in camp with guys like that, with Ballard? We'll have to see. But either way, we're still talking about depth roles, okay? Kind of extreme depth roles, I think. Some of these rookies, like I said, Tolliver, some of these other guys, they're right there in the mix. These guys are all bigger than these two, than White and Milton. But, you know, White, I think, in my opinion, has a little bit more to get off of as far as what he was brought in to do, who he's brought in by. This is how he wanted to strengthen the depth. DJ White's got an awful good chance here to make the roster, and he has, you know, he's got some good play. He's a solid corner. He's not a starter. I don't think he's a starter in any stretch of the imagination whatsoever, but he's definitely got potential to be a big player in this Colts defense with the rotation. So he's a guy I'm wanting to watch pretty closely as well. We're going to get into the top four guys here on the Colts roster here at the position currently right now. Again, this is a position that nobody was brought in out of the draft or anything like that. So we've got broken down into our top four corners for the 2018 season at this moment. We're going to come back and talk about those guys here right after this. Welcome back, guys, to the Colts Cast. All right, let's get diving into our guys who are expected to be possibly battling for starting position, starting role in some way, capacity, or form. So we're talking about Kenny Moore, a guy who Ballard loves, a guy who Ballard brought in. You know, they claimed him off waivers, I think, from the New England Patriots. He's a guy who came in and proved, even at his size, 5'9", less than 180 pounds, that he was a physical guy on the outside. Is he quality enough coverage-wise to kind of add these two and be in a strong rotation, either in the slot or on the outside? Kenny was a boundary corner last year for the Colts. He was not a guy who played in the slot much at all, as far as I'm concerned. Had five passes defensed, had one interception, you know, what, over 30 tackles as a rookie. A guy brought in who was undrafted, as far as I can remember, I think that he was, and a guy who was kind of highly touted coming in. A lot of people thought that he was a guy that they wanted to target in the UDFA range, and the Colts ended up getting him after he left the Patriots. So this is a guy, Kenny Moore is a guy they love. They think that he fits this scheme almost to a T, which is good for him. And like I said, despite his size and his build, he's a guy who proved that he can be physical on the outside. He was a guy who proved that he could cover. He could challenge 50-50 balls as well. I mean, with his athleticism, and it just, I mean, he's just a small guy that you just don't see that. So hopefully he's going to be able to continue that, prove that he's got the athletic ability and profile to be able to challenge those 50-50 balls, to get some balls knocked down. Primarily, like I said, a boundary corner last year. I'm interested to see if they move him in and out of the slot. The next guy we're going to talk about, I'm interested in that as well. What's going to happen with him? Are they going to keep with the role that they had him last year? Does that still fit this scheme for them? We don't know. Kenny Moore is a guy, though, that is going to get a lot of snaps. And as long as he stays healthy throughout camp, he's going to make this roster, and he's going to be heavily in a rotation somewhere. I can just about assure you of that. So really, this depends on if the Colts add to this position with what they've already got, in spite of any injuries or anything like that. That will kind of be what should probably tell you where this second tier of corners on the roster is going to be. So with four guys, we're whittling it down to three. Kenny Moore is a guy who's definitely going to be able to challenge for some snaps there. We're going to hit Nate Harrison here next. Really overplayed anything that we thought we were going to see from him in the 2017 season. He was a guy that came in, we expected to be a special teams guy initially. Watching his tape last year, I loved his ability to challenge. I loved it because he was a boundary guy at Temple, not exclusively a boundary guy, but mostly. But was able to transform his skill set into being a quality nickel guy. Nickel, folks, is not kind of the third guy in the bunch, if you want to say it that way. He's not. This is not an easy role. The slot guy, the nickel corner, has to be able to track through the trash, through linebackers, through tight ends running routes, all that good stuff, and still be in good position to make a play on the ball one way or another, and to be able to make the tackle efficiently at the catch point, if nothing else. He definitely proved that he could do that. 35 tackles last year, 5 passes defensed, had an interception, only started 4 games, but played in 14. Very valuable experience for him, in my opinion. Last year in camp, we've talked about this a little bit in the past, he was initially put out on the boundary. And I think that was due to injuries, but they had him starting there, and it was early in camp. So obviously I'm not making too much of that. I'm just saying that they wanted to see what he could do outside first. They liked what he could do when they moved him into the slot, and it paid off. I think he was one of the better corners last year on the team. People who saw maybe 1 or 2 of his bad games last year based everything that they saw off of that. And that's idiotic, because Nate Hairston most certainly played better than Vontae Davis or a couple other guys on this roster last year. And it was obvious to see. Hairston was physical. He was a solid tackler, a guy who can challenge the catch point. Love to see that. 6 foot, almost 200 pounds. I'm interested to see what he can do. Mentioned this talking about Kenny Moore. Do they move him out and try him out at boundary again? Do they see if they like that better than one of the two guys that we have projected as the starters right now outside? Or do they leave him inside and kind of leave it at that? I'm guessing that they're going to try him out in multiple roles. I think that he is a really interesting guy for the same reason that some of the, like maybe Sky Moore as a linebacker, or maybe even, you know, Farley or another safety who's got some good coverage skills, to be in those heavy coverage packages. Big nickels, big dimes. What are they going to do with him then? Are they going to maybe switch out another guy in to cover the slot corner or slot receiver and then move him around and have him cover one of the tight ends to be a coverage match? What are they going to do with him? He's got some solid size. He's not an overly big guy. He's just a big boy. And I'm excited to see kind of what the Colts do with him. I think he's got a lot of potential in this Colts system. I think he's definitely proved that he's physical enough to play it, and he's going to be relied upon to make a lot of tackles. I think next year, if he starts, especially he adds this extra ability too that almost negates what TJ Green does, because he's a guy who can come off the edge, setting up over the slot receiver, and is able to rush the passer. That's something that the Colts really showed last year. Now, he had 2 sacks, but he had several pressures and several hurries. And those are what really help the defense, is when somebody's blitzing unexpectedly and can be successful in that role, especially not as an edge rusher or a heavy linebacker at 240-some pounds. So Hairston has a big role in this Colts defense, I think, this year. I think that they not only do they practice him in camp in multiple positions, but I think you're going to see him on the field in multiple positions, especially in preseason, but possibly into the regular season as well, especially if anybody in these roles is not up to snuff and is not carrying their weight. Nate Harrison's a good worker, hard practicer. It's going to be fun to watch what he does this year as well. So now we're digging into the 2 starters that we project for the Indianapolis Colts in 2018. Quincy Wilson's a guy that everybody wants to see. Everybody wants to see him ball out. Last year, very effective in the 7 games that he played. Started 5, solid in coverage, 6 passes defense. I mean, think about that versus some of the guys who had quite a bit more snaps than he did. He was targeted a lot too, so that has a role in it as well. But he was over 20 tackles, only really started 5 games. Had an interception. I think that was kind of a gimme, but nevertheless, he contributed on an interception that Malik Hooker got. Had great coverage downfield after initially getting beat off the line, so he's got that recovery speed. He's got the length. He's got good ball skills getting up, and if nothing, ball skills isn't just the ability to catch a pass as you're turning around. Ball skills is the ability to get a hand accurately on the ball to break it up. Not breaking any news here. I just want to explain that because I think people confuse the ball skill situation with being able to simply catch a football. That's not the case. Wilson can catch. He's 6'2", over 200, well over 200, and he's got that speed and athleticism that you really want to see from this Colts secondary. I am super excited to see what Quincy Wilson can do for the Colts this year. I think that he has to come in, man, just blazing in training camp, because he – last year there was a lot of talk about him coming in unprepared or not physically prepared or just whatever, maybe mentally as well. And I think that he kind of admitted to some of that, like, I didn't come in with the right mindset. Wilson has to come in with the right mindset this year, folks. I mean, second year with all this possibility, all this potential, Quincy Wilson has to be a guy who is a leader for this team defensively. Doesn't necessarily have to be the vocal guy. That, I mean, if you want to, leave that up to the linebackers, that's fine. He's got to be a guy who is a leader by example. He's got to challenge a ton of passes. He's going to be getting some really tough assignments. He's going to have some really good number twos and even a lot of number ones on teams where he's got to be the coverage guy. He's going to be good in man coverage, so that's good. We know that about him from last year, that his man coverage is pretty good. Even some of the passes that were successful against him were not necessarily due to him being out of position. They were just good catches. We saw that in the preseason. A couple of those touchdowns to Detroit Lions receiver Galladay. Wilson was in perfect position to make those plays. He just didn't. And Galladay made amazing catches. I mean, so those are the things. You can look at the catch rate, but you've really got to see the film to see he was in position. He simply just didn't make the play on the ball. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, a better catch overworks better play defensively. So that's just, I mean, the simple situation of it all. I can't wait to watch Quincy Wilson this year. I hope he comes in uber prepared, ready to just kick some ass, honestly, because he's a guy who is going to be huge for this team. If he can stay A, healthy, he can be a gamer every single week. He can be not necessarily have to be a lockdown corner, because he's going to see a lot of zone coverages as the number one boundary guy outside. I'm wanting to see that he can break on the ball just like Chris Ballard and Reich and Eberflus are all wanting to see. They want to see he can break on the ball. He's a solid zone defender. We know that he can play man. You want to see him making plays on the ball and being a solid tackler and a physical guy. He is a physical guy. So a couple of things that we're looking forward to with Quincy Wilson. Very excited for him this year. I think that just looking predictively, I think that he really breaks out this year and just gets, if nothing else, and we can look at interceptions and tackles aside, doesn't have to be analytical. It doesn't have to be statistical. If he's just that guy and he proves that he can be a menace for wide receivers all season, he's going to get the respect that he deserves going into 2019, and that's crucial. It's crucial. A guy who comes in not getting a lot of play in his rookie year, played solid, comes in the next year and really breaks out and plays really well, that's great for his confidence going into his third season. And that's going to help the Colts as well, because they're going to need some more help in the secondary in next year's draft, next year's free agency. But if he is a lockdown guy, he's that guy that the Colts can depend on for sure, being as young as he is and an early draft pick, he's going to be a massive help for the Colts. So really big on Quincy Wilson this year, hoping that he is the man that everybody hopes he can be. Pierre Desir, another guy. He's going to have to be a lockdown guy. Took the starting role from Vontae Davis last year, regardless of what anybody wants to say. Who cares if Vontae Davis was, you know, unhappy and was talking? I don't think that's it. I think he was just outplayed. And I think that Pagano stated that even. It was one of the more candor moments of his coaching career, to be quite honest with you, without the coach speak. And so you look at a guy who was heavily liked in the pre-draft process, Pierre Desir. A guy who stayed on in Cleveland, played in San Diego 2016, but last year with the Colts, he had his most passes defensed, only in six starting spots, played in nine games, but also was very productive in tackling. 30-some tackles last year. He's not really a guy who is going to benefit. Now this is another thing about him. He's a similar size to Wilson, not quite as tall, 6'1", 198. But he's a guy who was also in really good spot to make some plays on balls last year. And some guys made some excellent catches on him, a couple touchdown catches, but he was in the perfect spot. You like to see that man-wise, because with the heavier zone scheme that the Colts are going to be playing this year, that's what we know. Now we need to see what he can do against zones. Can he be instinctive in that bubble where he's got to react to the ball? Can he make plays on the ball? Can he get some picks? Can he break up enough passes to where the Colts are an efficient coverage secondary overall? Because then it alleviates a lot of issues going forward. This linebacking core is one of the positions that is most unknown right now. But if that secondary can be solid, we have even a slight uptick in the pass rush, then these linebackers are going to be the ones that everybody's wanting to get the production out of underneath. Having two different sits in the back seven of this defense that can't cover or that can't make plays, that's going to be an issue. So the secondary cornerbacks especially have to handle theirs first. This has to be a position where the Colts can rely on at least three guys. I think they've got that. But injuries pop up all the time. More guys are going to go down or more guys are going to not play up to snuff. But I think the Colts have at least three with that. And I think that they like Kenny Moore enough to where he can fill in on one of the boundary sides. If there's another guy that comes up through this position rank and can actually prove to be a viable fourth piece, maybe Andre Tolliver, you know, maybe whoever, somebody can do that. Then the Colts secondary, in particular, the cornerbacks, is in a much better situation than they've been in the past couple years. The Cowboys coverage was really solid in this scheme. They had obviously some more, experience in these cornerback spots, but this is a group that I think is going to get the right coverage, the right coverage scheme for their skill set. So I'm real excited. I'm not overly excited about Desir as far as his long-term future with the team, but right now he's got to be that guy who everybody thought he could be coming out of, what, Lindenwood or something like that? Yeah, Lindenwood College. Everybody fell in love with him. And now he's got to be that guy. He hasn't gotten a ton of starting snaps throughout his career. First couple years in Cleveland, he started 7 games, played 19. That's good. The last 2 years, 14-6, though. That's something that can't get him as he comes into a season where he's going to turn 28, I believe, during the season. In fact, he's almost 28 now. So this is going to be a big year for him, maybe to get that extra year, another year on his contract, and would be vital for the Colts adding any depth in the future. Now, is this cornerback position one that gets some help through the season, mainly as the 53-man cuts come down? I think it is, to be quite honest with you. And I don't know or think necessarily it'll be one of the guys who are somebody who will fight for a starting role. I think it's a guy who can fill that cornerback four spot effectively and be one of the guys that the Colts can rely on as a little bit of cushion in that group and that can rotate in and out. So that's something that I'm looking forward to this year. Hopefully we see at least four guys, maybe five, in this group that can, really kind of live up to what their expectations are. Not as high on Chris Milton. Not sure about some of the rookies. I think Andre Tolliver is a good guy to keep your eye on. Robert Jackson for his size, see if that speed matches up and if he's got the coverage skills and the physicality to become one of the guys on the outside. But Pierre Desir, Quincy Wilson, Kenny Moore, and Nate Hairston, those guys to me are the top four, kind of by a large margin. And then you've got DJ White in there, a guy that Chris Ballard brought in, who could possibly be that fifth guy if he can become what the Colts really and truly want from this cornerback position. So that rounds out our defense, folks. We are getting into the offense tomorrow. A lot of questions on this defense. We've touched on a lot of them, and I think that majority-wise, we see the youth, but we see the impression of the front seven. We see that that front defensive line is going to be critical to getting some pass rush inside and out. That second group, that second wave, that linebacking group, even more critical, they're going to have to be excellent run stoppers, and they're going to have to be really good in coverage. The secondary has some youth that the Colts have drafted recently, some injured, some not, but we need a lot of really good starting reps. We need a lot of good quality coverage and physicality from this secondary. Are we going to get it? I don't know, but I think the potential is there to surprise a lot of people. That linebacking group is just such an unknown right now. We know that they've got some really good potential in there, but are they going to live up to it? That's what we're hoping to see, especially from camp as it arrives at the end of this week. So Guys, that's it for the defense. Like I said, we're going to get the offense up next week, starting tomorrow. Thank you all for joining me on the Colts Cast. Please rate and review and share anywhere that you guys are most active social media-wise. Get your family involved. I've heard that from a couple listeners that they are in with their family. Their family now listens to the show. I love that. Make sure if you guys are liking it that you're telling us so. So we appreciate it. Thank you guys all for listening, and we'll talk to you next time right here on the Colts Cast. Let's air it out. Flyer out. Let's air it out. Yeah. Stampede Blue.